Fantasy Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wax.
That was pretty classy.
Yes, sir! 9:04 on the air. It is the 17th of January. Good morning, Austin, Texas. It is Adam Wagner and Isaiah Collier and Sam Pikachu for the Wagner Wire, bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves of 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Oh, get it out. AM 1260, and you stream it live at hornfm.com. I am Adam Wagner, as I just mentioned. We got a lot to break down, but we want to know, how are you doing here on a nice, brisk Austin morning here? The sun is shining over the glorious West Hills of Austin, Texas. Rightfully so, because Westlake, you are Austin champions. Not just Austin champions, you are Texas football royalty. I mean, 6A champions back-to-back. Here we go, man. And guess what? You guys are probably going to do it again next year, because you got your senior, or you'll have your senior quarterback and a host full of weapons as well. Good morning, guys. What's going on here? I got to tell you, Zay, I cannot wait until you get back into the studio. I was just telling Stan this, like, just in pre-show. It sucks not being able to see. Like, the energy is still here, but it's not the whole synergy energy. You know what I mean? Like, when you're catty cornered for me over here in this studio, man, it is, I don't know. It's just amazing.
You're right, because if you were to be looking at me right now, you would be seeing the disgust on my face.
What do you got going on?
Westlake High on their, like, millionth what state championship or whatnot. Like, as a Bowie alum, you don't know how much that hurts.
So,
like,
is that your all's rival?
Oh, man. Yes.
Because Westlake could be considered Lake Travis's rival as well, right?
Well, that's their rival, because both of those teams are really, really good, and we're just kind of like, you know, we make the playoffs. Let's just say that. Like, my guy, Coach Abels, does a
Abels
hell of a
is
job
a,
there.
Is a hell of a coach. He's a staple.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. I love the guy, and what he's done for that program over the, you know, course of the years is absolutely astounding, which is why I'm very salty to hear Westlake win another title. Like, give him the kids the praise. Like, the kids worked hard. You know, congratulations to the Lake, the dodgeball, yada, yada,
that's
yada.
Pretty cool, though, right? Like, playing.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would feel, though. Like, how do you think your dad would feel if you guys were going at it in a state championship hoops contest, and you know he beat you, and he probably wouldn't care. He's like, you know what, I'm not holding back, you know, I'm getting this dub.
He's so Jordan about it. Yeah, like, I didn't win many games of one-on-one growing up.
No, I don't think so, dude.
I don't really remember much of, like, the one-on-one game, because I feel like there's a point of time where I was like, I'm just going to stop playing him. And then when I got good enough, he was just like, yeah, I'm just not going to play you anymore. And I was like, all right. So
I feel like there was a lot of moments where you just would walk off the court just scratching the back of your head like, God, that sucked. Like, this is brutal.
He would make some crazy shots. Like, yeah. If you went to a Bowie basketball camp, you know, throughout the last 30 years or so, you've seen him make some crazy shots. Like, that's what he's known for doing, he used to do that. Like, he would play one-on-one, and he would go to, like, almost half court and throw up some Steph Curry stuff. And I'd just be like, all right, well, I don't really know what to do with that. Like, I'm 5'3".
Yeah, you can't defend that.
I don't know. I can't do anything about that. So, yeah, the dodgeball, I would be on the losing end like the South Lake Carroll coach. Like, that's how it would feel for me, because Westlake, they definitely – it was a blowout, man. I was very
It was
shocked,
close in the first half, though, and then it got a little bit out of hand. But, yeah, dude, how about that, man, just to play your son, be on the other sideline, not play your son, but coach against your son.
I'm just gonna say it. Like, I know there's an elephant in the room, because this guy, he was on the Four Letter Network, top 10. Like, they got a lot of Jason Sehorns over there. That's just all I'm gonna say. There was a lot of Jason Sehorns making some serious plays out there, and I'm over here like, yo, man, what's going on? Like, that one-handed catch wax, that was absolutely bonkers, man.
Jason Sehorns.
Yeah, a lot of Jason. That's all I'm gonna say. You can take that for what it's worth. Like, I'm not gonna get into it much, but
I love it as a spectator. I know where you're at.
Yeah, my man Craig Way was absolutely phenomenal. Like, Craig Way.
It don't matter.
What does
dude.
He not do?
It don't matter what he's at, where what he's calling. He's exceptional. He is exceptional. Yeah. That's the word. Exceptional, man. He's a good one to emulate,
ridiculous.
Dude. He just gives you nothing but a reel. You know what I mean? Just, all right, that's, you're not going to pull from his bag or nothing. You're just going to try and get into his flow. Like, the way that his cadence of calling a game, too, man, as a broadcaster, it's something that I like to emulate, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we're all just, like, taking it in, because I'm with you, too. Like, seeing him every day and, just seeing, like, his craft and how he goes from doing Light the Tower to Texas State football games to University of Texas basketball to women's basketball and, obviously, Longhorn football. Like, it's just that the versatility of our man C Way, C Dub, that's what I'm calling him now. Like, you get an OG name like that, C Dub, when you're just
notorious.
Work. Yeah, exactly. But calling those Jason Sehorns out there making one-handed catches and out here running 4-3s and stuff. Like, yeah, it was bonkers.
It's just it's a different game than it was 10 years ago. Let alone when I played 20 years ago in high school. So. It has opened up tremendously, man. Both offenses were amazing. And then you got Kublik, right, who's a track star too. So you got
I see that.
He's fast, dude.
Yo, and homeboy, like, he's got the quarterback look. Like, he's got the hair.
Oh, yeah, he's got the moxie,
like,
for sure.
He's got that, like, oh, okay. You're, like, you see him walking through your hallway or whatever at school, you're by, like, oh, okay, that guy's the quarterback. Like, that guy's James Vanderbeek. Like, that guy's... That guy.
Wasn't it, like, 22 years ago, Varsity Blues came out? Not to age everybody there, but... That was so hot when I was in high school, man. Like, my senior year.
I'm telling you.
My senior year. 99, yeah. 99, that was when I graduated high school.
Yeah, that's the GOAT movie. I think the racist coach's statue is still up there, isn't that?
Kilmer's Coyotes. And Billy, the one dude didn't even have his last name on there. He just had Billy Bob. He just had his what they called him. He just had his gimmick on the back of his name.
That's extremely country.
He drove a pretty big ass truck, though, that's for sure. I don't know, that was a good movie. Hey, shout out to The Landing Strip. That was in that movie.
Oh, yeah, there were classic Austin staples in that movie. Landing Strip, what's it called?
Landing Strip was the first one I noticed when I got here.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, that was in Varsity Blues. Well, I mean, it's not that I was looking out for that, but that's the first one. Or one of the first things that you see coming out of the airport, if you're heading north. No, I'm serious.
Nah, sure, bro.
Right.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
don't look at
right,
me like
Sam?
That. And my wife picked me up anyways. So look, and I'm coming from Hawaii. Oh, there we go. Right. edging it along. Here we are. No, but I'm coming in. I'm flying in. I'm just like, oh, Landing Strip. That's in Varsity Blues. She's like, what's that? I was like, that's a gentleman's club. Not that you think that's what I'm looking up on Google. It was as soon as I land. The first thing. As a matter of fact, I think it was barbecue. The first thing I looked up, and then it was like Franklin's, okay. And I saw that they gave me like the 4-hour estimate. Like that's what they wrote on there. I was like, get the hell out of here. I am never standing in line for 4 hours.
I hear those places serve pretty good food, bro.
Hey, you know what? That's what
true.
I hear.
Ask my man
that's,
Lou.
That, ask Lou, my man Lou. Ask James. They will all tell you. They and you know what? They're not just there supporting homegirls and everything like that. They are. It's not a business party that they're supporting. They are actually getting the good food there, man. It's good. We won't even call it. We won't even call it food. We'll call it cuisine.
Yeah, that's fine quality cuisine right there. Like that's some Gordon Ramsay like Rachel Ray stuff. That
premium roast there. Beef that they're serving there. Let me tell
okay,
you.
Okay, all right. Okay. Why do you have
I'm
to
just
take
saying,
it down
I'm just
that
I'm just letting you know.
No, no, it's chicken wings. You're talking about roast beef. No, they're chicken
prime
wings.
Rib.
Don't go for the. Don't go for that, people. Go for appetizer type food.
Do go for the snacks. For... Go for the little niblets. That's what you. All right. Well, let's come on. Let's talk some sport. Let's talk some hoops here, man. Let's get into it.
Yo, speaking of James Harden.
Okay.
I gotta ask one thing
because you brought up the wings and everything, right? So did we all get played? Did this man have a fat suit on? Did he have a fat suit on? Was he wearing fat suits?
What diet is that?
I don't know.
Because that it can't be healthy. Something's not right. Like I'm concerned because
you're
we know
with me,
what
though, right?
Models do.
You're with me. He was very puffy, was he not? And now all of a sudden it's my eyes are not playing tricks on me, dude. He shedded something. What happened?
I'm just as flabbergasted as you are, my friend. It's just. And he looks slim out there. The way he was moving and gliding.
Well, there,
like,
that's
you can
the,
tell.
That's the word, gliding. He was gliding like a gazelle.
He was gliding
dude,
out there.
Running that press, running the damn three-man weave going down there, weaving down in between five players, and then just taking it himself, like just looking at people on his left and his right and just say, I got this.
I don't care who you are. Man, like people talk about like basketball, it is the type of sport to where you could get thrown in a situation on a whole nother team and fit in just because like basketball doesn't really change. There's not many plays in the NBA.
Sure.
Like you have sets which these guys like they're so good they could remember like the simple sets.
Right.
But all in all, it's dribble handoff, pick and roll, spacing. Like one-on-one, like the NBA has
finding
changed.
Your teammates in their spots and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
it's basketball.
Yeah,
like it's basketball. It's not like football to where you know you go to a completely different team and you have to learn a completely different system based on the coordinator and the like head coach. Like it's not like that at all. Even though like each coach has their philosophy and you have to buy into that, you could like there's really not much you have to buy into when it comes to just playing 5-on-5. You know, regular season basketball. But for this man to come in and to drop a 30-point triple-double with
real?
no practice, man. And I know it's Orlando. Like people are going
to
be like, oh,
and
Orlando
shout
Magic,
out to James,
no
too. Like,
Fultz.
James even goes, yeah, well, it's really easy to do this when you're playing with great players. Like, I get that. Like
wait, that's a shout-out? That's a shout-out? That's not a dig? Not a slap in John Wall's face?
Oh, I was talking about, like, shouting out to Kyrie and KD. I was just – that's
oh,
what
yeah.
I was thinking. We can even talk about that presser. We can even talk about the presser that he said and how Boogie responded too.
See, Wags, my petty radar went off when he said that yesterday. When James Harden went out and said, "Well, it's and like he cut the reporter off to ask him the question, like he didn't even let him get out the last few words because he was already quick to say, "Oh yeah, when you play with great players, it's easy." Like,
I did not even take it like that. I didn't see it like that until you brought it up. That is such a good point.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
god.
They've been petty too.
I get it, but I mean, in his body movement and his posture, right? Like how he shrugged it off, and that like you mentioned how he cut the reporter off. He's just like, yeah, well, you know, I'm not gonna walk off, you know, and give you the look off this one. I'll actually just answer you real quick. Like that is, I didn't even think about that. I thought he was just really quick to dismiss his praise and you know praise his teammates, but
yeah, the new. the Brooklyn Nets are the pettiest team in the league.
No doubt. It's not even close.
Like, KD doesn't really like anybody. James Harden doesn't really like anybody. Kyrie Irving hates everyone. he literally went out before the season started and said, you know what, I dislike the media so much that I'm not going to talk to them and I'm going to risk getting fired. Like, Kyrie's been fine, like, easily a smooth mill this year, and he hasn't even played 10 games. Like, just from making that statement to the media, they fined him for that because you have to talk to the media. Right. That's a part of your job. Like, when you sign that contract, it says somewhere in the thousands of papers that you have to talk to media when it's time. Like, that's just what it is. And then he just got fined for missing all of these games by basically just saying, hey, I'm not going to play because I want to stand up for social reform, which in a way, I praise him. But on the other hand, like, you got teammates that bust their ass during the off season to prepare for this season, and they're waiting on you to make a championship run, and you're saying you're not going to play. So that also doesn't sit well with me. But again, like, we all know who Kyrie Irving is at this point.
Right.
Like, are we surprised?
No, not at all. Not at all. But all right, so let's go, because so much has happened. And, you know, we brought up James Harden. Let's kind of walk this back a little bit here. He's on the Nets. All right, let's talk about the deal. Let's talk about, first off, my God. I mean, you know, shout out. I'm so, you know, hats off and hearts, you know, huge hearts for the Pacers organization and Pacers family now. With Caris LeVert, you know, getting that stress.
God, that's so sad, man. What,
damn. I mean, a stress fracture, dude. So, and this happened prior to the trade happening. So the deal already went down. It's not going to stop anything. Like, it's what's done is done. So they lose out on that. Big, big bust on that there. I didn't like, I thought you gave up way too much. One, I didn't think that the move had to happen. I thought you were going to have regression out there. If you're the Nets, I think it had to happen.
Wags,
you did. All right. Well, I mean, yeah. I hate seeing Jared Allen get moved, but whatever.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I think you gave up a lot. I think you gave up LeVert, and it sucks that LeVert was injured in the first place or had the stress fracture. But I mean, LeVert and Allen, that's significant pieces of your future. For how long? For how long of these three elite players? I mean, you could argue that Durant will be there for at least another five at the top tier three, I would say, for five more.
Yeah. Years. I'm counting. I think KD, next 5 years or so, I think KD is going to stay at this elite level just because his jump shooting is just too effortless.
How do you stop it? Like,
yeah, you can't stop it. He shoots over everyone.
You got to have
right
a smooth
now.
Center out there just to do it. You got to have a smooth a center with light feet, and that ain't out there.
Yeah, nobody's stopping them. Like, everybody's trying to find, like, that's why people like Greg Brown and Kai Jones, why they're so valuable, you know, in the draft stocks, because you need people who can just kind of stop or just kind of match
just
up
move,
with guys
just
like
move
LeBron
with
and Durant.
Him.
Just move with him. Anybody that could, like, you know, just match up physically with this guy to make it kind of hard for him. Like, we need more guys in the NBA like that. But obviously, we digress a lot here. Going back to the Nets, Wags, they're going to probably put up 150 a game and give up, like, maybe 145. Like, that's the only thing that I would be a little just weary on. Like, because James Harden's no Klay Thompson. Like, the difference between Steph or Kyrie's clearly no Steph Curry. I like comparing the Brooklyn Nets to the Warriors teams, obviously, because both teams are stacked and have a big three, and they both have Durant. So
but is there too much isolation on this team now? Basketball.
And that's the thing. Like, KD could play with anyone. Like, James was really orchestrating the offense a lot yesterday, and, you know, KD would get his own rebound, and that's when he would orchestrate it, but James had, like, over 12 assists. So, you know, like, you know, playing off James Harden for KD, playing off of Kyrie Irving for, you know, KD won't be a problem. It's really going to be how is Kyrie going to play off James Harden and vice versa. Like, that's going to be really interesting, because there was once upon a time where James Harden could play off the basketball. Like, right. During his OKC days, like, he, you know, he would do a lot of backdoor cuts for layups and, you know, coming off down screens and flare screens, etc. So, you know, he played off ball at one point of his career. We just haven't seen it in ages, so it doesn't really, it sounds kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense.
But
right
you already saw that, you know, James Ball or Harden Ball already getting orchestrated into the Nets, you know, the Nets offense.
Right.
Got to the line, you know, shot 15 free throws, man. I mean, that's James. That's James,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, and he had a smooth 9 turnovers yesterday also. Like, that comes with the chemistry, though. Like,
correct.
He hasn't
correct.
Practiced with the team. Like, you know, he almost dropped a quadruple-double. That would have been bonkers. But you have to find some type of chemistry with the team. I know that, you know, it's basketball, and I said in the opening of this show that it's an easier game to find the chemistry, which that's why you saw him get the triple-double. But at the end of the day, once Kyrie Irving gets there, that's the big question. Like,
right.
Is Kyrie okay with right. sometimes, you know, only having 15 a game? Or is James Harden okay with sometimes only having 15 a game? Because somebody's going to have to guard. Like, that's – I look at Kyrie and I look at James Harden and, you know, I'm a player like Jaylen Brown. And I see those guys and I'm like, okay, I am getting my, you know, knife and fork out and I'm eating today. Because none of these guys can check me. That's just what it is. So how are they going to hide, you know – their defensive liabilities that they clearly have? Because we know James Harden has become a better defender, but, you know, let's keep it real. Like, he's no Michael Cooper. Like, he's no
right.
Scottie
Pippen. He's not exerting that much energy on defense to take away
no.
from his offensive game. You know what
no.
I mean? Like, he's going to make sure that output on offense is still there.
Yeah, and, like, even though he shedded that weight, he's still got that husky lateral
dude,
movement.
Dude, all right, come on. And we got to go to break, but we are definitely retouching this when we get back from break, because this dude, like, it was just a layer of the summer sweater, or you know what I mean? Just like a whole bunch of chest hair just puffing out, like that damn shirt or whatever. I ain't buying it, man. What did you do? You sold your soul, man. The Illuminati. How did you do it? Unless you did like one of those TV guide diets or something like that. Remember that stuff?
No,
you drink the juice and then you just like you lose 10 pounds or something overnight.
And there has been a lot of photoshopping going around. Like, I've seen some
Man.
Photos where I'm like, okay, guys, like, y'all are kind of making a mockery out of James. Like, he looks way too much like Mark Henry in this photo.
No, but
he was
puffy. I mean, puffy.
He was.
But
he
did. He slimmed down, man. He looks good. All right, don't go nowhere. It's Zan Wags, the Wagner Wire, with Sam bringing you in and off these Austin radio airwaves on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at HornetFM.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream it live at HornetFM.com. Myself, Isaiah Collier, and Sam Pikachu bring you in and off these Austin radio airwaves. And yes, I was, you know, be completely transparent. I was looking at another story when we were talking about the trade and talking about the injury. For some reason, I said stress fracture. I saw the bottom line flash here on the news, and it said stress fracture. So I guess that's why I read stress fracture. But no, Caris LeVert does have something wrong with his kidney. It's actually
like a mass,
like almost. I don't know if it's a tumor or whatnot, but they have to they got to go in there and check it out. And like I guess it would be you don't get an X-ray, you get what this guy says, it would be a CAT scan and MRI. But yeah, damn, that's brutal,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, people said if he didn't get traded, like, or that trade might have saved his life. So
we'll see.
But it looks, life works in mysterious ways.
It does, absolutely. And let's talk about the other side of that trade. Let's talk about what Houston got. So, or first, you know, we already talked about, we shed some light on James Harden, did we not? Like that, like we understand why he lost the weight.
It was, I gained and lost 60 pounds in 3 months.
That's just good producing right there. That's just really
that's just
good
terrific
producing.
Just producing.
Shout out to Sam Piga there. Just looking. Hey, there's some Always Sunny right there. Appreciate that. Yeah, and that's kind of hard to do. Gaining, you know, fluctuating in weight like that can just make make life really stressful. But anyways,
well, I mean, I could understand why he's gotten so husky, so thick, because he's opening up his restaurant in Houston. So if I'm opening up a restaurant, best believe I'm tasting all the food that we're gonna be selling out that thing. You know what I'm
what
saying?
Is it, Chop
so,
Fifth? What is it called in Brooklyn?
13.
Chop 13.
It's in Houston, which it doesn't make sense now. It's not, you know, it's probably going to go under in the next 2 years.
Somebody,
he didn't think it through.
Isn't it going to Brooklyn? Isn't he moving?
No, I don't know if he's going to. I don't think he's going to move it to Brooklyn. I mean, obviously, I think
he's
going to
make a chop house
to
up
do
there.
So. I'm just saying, like, homeboy.
How
he
long
was
is this
going to
last, man? How long is this going to last? See, because we brought up a good point last segment. When all three of them get back, Kyrie's already checking out. I mean, and we already talked. I mean, we already knew it was going to happen. And he goes through these things, right? He likes to go off on a little hiatus and meditate, man. Rodman did the same stuff. So before everybody says, "Oh, Kyrie's ahead," Rodman went to Vegas and cleared his head, got his mind right. I'm just
that's not even close to the same.
You're absolutely right. I'm just.
I'm
always hard on him. A lot of us are hard on him. I'm trying to give him some slack here.
We are. And at the end of the day, his heart's in the right place. His heart is in the right place. Not really, the partying with his dad and sister, like the birthday party. There's like video that surfaced of him, you know, doing the boogie at some party with, you know, there weren't many masks on. Like that wasn't a good look.
I know,
That's the Rodman that you're talking
about.
When
I'm around my intimate set, when I'm around like my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, we don't wear our masks. Like when we're having dinner for Sunday lunch or Sunday dinner and stuff like that, we don't wear masks. Like we wear masks to each other's house, but once we get in there, we take our masks off.
Right, and then when it's time to go to your job, you say, "Hey guys, I gotta go. This is fun."
Right,
but I got
yeah. There's that.
He, on the other hand, is going to the crib while his teammates are out there battling every night, trying to improve their standings. So when they go into the playoffs, they could be, you know, feeling good about themselves, so they can make a run. And Kyrie's kind of derailing that. Not much. Like, them getting James Harden, that's going to, you know, you got two superstars there. And I don't think Kyrie's a superstar. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Kyrie's a superstar. A superstar is a guy who, you know, could carry a team on his back.
No doubt.
You know, at least to the second round. Like, Kyrie, he's not that guy.
He is one hell of a supporting cast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's as good as what the elite all-star status, like he's that all-star type. But you know, once he gets back,
be careful, we're gonna hurt his feelings.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I know
that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a very sensitive guy. Like, I'm not trying to, I love his shoes, you know.
Absolutely.
I know he's a smart guy, Duke guy. Like, he, again, like I said, his heart's in the right place. But at the end of the day, you got a job, Kyrie.
You gotta go to work, man.
That's all we're saying.
You
gotta
go
to work. We all have responsibilities. Like, that's all. Like, I get it. We all have responsibilities. It's just weird that you're the only one in the NBA that's life is so affected by what's going on in the outside world that you can't do your job.
It's all subjective, but we get it. I mean, we understand. We understand. We empathize.
Yeah, exactly.
We empathize. Well, how about the Rockets? All right, so they get Vic. They get Vic Oladipo. I think it's actually a really good move here for Houston. I think it's going to have actually better chemistry. Well, I mean, hell, anything's giving you than what Houston was getting from James, right?
I mean, yeah, when a guy that clearly could average 30 a game in the last four games, he's averaging under 20 because he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to play.
What did I have on my notes?
Yeah, like he was averaging like 19 points a game or under 19 points in the last four games. That doesn't make any sense for him. Like, you know something's wrong. Even him at his, you know, most overweight, that's not going to happen.
We'll say
like,
his max.
Yeah, we'll say his max. Yeah, that he's still going to be able to get you at least 25 and 10. Like, that's just the way he's operated. So you knew that, you know, he wasn't giving you top-tier effort at that point. Like, you know, so that's sure. What I mean when Houston, they had to make that move. Like, they had to. And now we see a jolly old grand James Harden over here in Brooklyn, like... Completely different person now. Completely different.
Just the psyche is just, hey, man, we're all peaches and cream now, man. It's going to be, give me that Brooklyn pizza. That's all it is, dude.
Yeah, we're from brisket to pizza. That's it.
Well, we'll definitely talk a little bit more about that at, you know, the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour when Walsh comes on. I'm sure he's going to have, you know, definite opinions. I'm not sure if he's in the... you know, if he's optimistic about it or if he's, you know, if he's not, I don't think he likes the move, but I mean, whatever. I think you guys are right. It needed to happen. They needed another scoring output. Here's the thing though. We've only seen it with just the two. When we get all three of them back and playing, we'll see how, you know, that synergy, as I like to call it, is there. The chemistry with the super energy chemistry there is the synergy. That's what
somebody's
going
to have to put some pride away. Somebody's going to have to put some pride away. That's all I got to say, because somebody's statistics are going to go down no matter what.
Oh, but, absolutely.
It shouldn't be Durant.
And you know, and,
it shouldn't and, be
but,
Durant.
But guess what? He will be the one that acquiesces. He'll be like, you know what, man? I don't even care. Just y'all work it out. When we need a shot, just give it to me if we need one. I'll make it.
You're right. Yeah, he is
exactly,
the type of player
exactly
that would say, you know what, guys? If y'all want to do more offensively, I will do more on the defensive end, which in the last few years, he has became a really good defender, especially, you know, with being in that Warrior system.
Right.
You got to defend.
Yeah.
Like Draymond, he ain't going to play with nobody that's not going to defend or at least give effort on the defensive end. So, yeah, I think that's translated now to Brooklyn, and I think KD is humble enough to understand that, hey, you know, I'm just going to do whatever the team needs me to do night in and night out. So if Kyrie and James Harden could be, you know, man enough to do that, which this is what they wanted, like they've been wanting this, and you've heard a lot of, you know, chatter about Kyrie and him, like, you know, how he didn't like the front office move with the hire of Steve Nash because he wasn't involved. And, like, you heard, and it kind of made sense with what he said about, you know,
Was Durant considered in this move? Was he, you know, did the front office talk to him about this move?
I don't know. I don't think so. But the difference is, the Nets made Durant like unmovable, while Kyrie, I think he was still in trade talks.
So you're saying there could be threat? There could be some threats to the future.
I just felt like Kyrie might not like everything that's
going
on.
I love where
your
head's
at
today, my man. I love where I just love the skepticism here.
I'm just saying.
I know, man.
There's a lot of chatter going on in the NBA world, and that could also play a part to why it's taken so long for Kyrie to come back. Because
I like
you know,
that.
Like,
I'm
We're gonna let that.
You don't like the people you work with.
Yeah, it's tough because you were because yeah, that's a really good point, dude. Because the people you work with are the ones that you spend the most of your life around. You know what I mean? Like, you could argue I spend probably more time around my work associates than I do my family. Because even when you get off of work and everybody comes back, your family's chilling and doing their thing while you're chilling right. and doing your thing, right? So the most time that you spend is around the people that you're working with.
Yeah, because...
So you better like them.
Yeah.
Or try to like them. Make an effort. Let's do something.
Exactly. So we know Kyrie's petty.
Oh, sure.
We know he's petty.
Sure.
So
it's a petty world.
But come back, Kyrie. I'm trying to see.
I want to see how this works. I would like to see this because we can't even say, and that's just it too. Like, I can't say, oh, well, here we go. You know, they're the favorites in the East now. I can't even say that until we see the full product.
I'm saying it. I'm saying it.
All right.
Like,
all right.
Y'all got over 20, all-star appearances out of the three of them. Like, I am saying it. This is championship or bust.
I think it's a lot of isolation ball, man. Maybe, when it's needed, Durant goes out and gets the bucket. Because you know that he'll be the clutch one. Like, James will be getting a smooth 30. He'll have to get that, right? Kyrie will be cool. He'll be cool with 20, 22, something around there. He'll be cool with that. But what's that leave for KD?
But and that's the thing.
Another 25?
Isolation ball with KD looks so much different than it does with Kyrie or James Harden, because once KD gets in the isolation situation, it's like a quick move. He'll just shoot over the top of you, which he could do that against anybody, or he's just going to make one dribble and he's already to the rim with his long strides. So his isolation, it kind of flows with your offense. While James Harden and Kyrie, they dribble for about 10 seconds before they shoot the ball. So it makes everybody a little stagnant.
They show you every damn thing in their bag.
Yeah. And where they're doing the isolation, like, it's only on the top of the key normally, towards the top.
Right.
KD's isolation sometimes from the top of the key, the elbow, the wing. Like, it doesn't matter where you put him. He could score anywhere on the court, and he doesn't need many dribbles because he's so tall. He could shoot over everybody. So, like I said, like, his isolation, it looks different. It flows more in your offense, you know, while James Harden and Kyrie's isolation, you know, when you dribble 20 times, it can be a little stagnant. So that's a huge difference in their game, and that's also why KD could play with anybody in the league.
A small mass announced yesterday for Caris LeVert on his kidney, man. That's brutal. So we'll let you all fester on those thoughts right there. And when we come back, we want to talk a little bit more hoops, but it's going to be on the collegiate front. That's right. A lot went down in the Big 12, including another win for UT on the 40 acres there. Kansas State came to town. The Wildcats got whooped 82-67. We'll break that down a little bit and also talk a little bit about this Texas Tech Baylor contest as well. Don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire with Isaiah Collier, Sam Pikachu, and myself on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com.
To the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming live at HortonFM.com. So much to break down. We got some good NFL games. I guess, is it the ARP Bowl? Is that what people are joking around and calling it? I heard Al Michaels call this, you know, Tampa Bay versus New Orleans here. You know, I thought it was a little good old man, old dad joke. Yeah, it's going to be a good one here. Two explosive offenses. We'll break all this stuff down. We'll actually, you know, of course, we'll get Al Walsh's opinion there at the top, or excuse me, at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. He's an avid Buccaneers fan as well, and, you know, we also know him to be an avid Nets fan as well. We'll get his opinions on both. Big news coming up for Buccaneers fans, and big news has just happened for Nets fans. But, yeah, we're talking about a lot of NBA hoops. Let's talk a little bit about collegiate hoops, Zay.
82-67, Longhorns with a nice victory over the Kansas State Wildcats on the 40 acres yesterday. What do you want to break down here from the game? Where do you want to start?
Basically, one thing that I really noticed and that I loved about this Longhorns team was the fact that they were missing three of their key players that have given them a lot of good minutes this season, and Kai Jones, Greg Brown, and Brock Cunningham. I guess they're on COVID protocol. They didn't really make that very clear last night, but at the end of the day, those three didn't play.
Good time to miss with the Kansas State, I mean, with this type of squad. I'm not calling anybody a bum squad, but I mean, you know, one in front of the conference.
And yeah, you don't want them against one of the top tier teams, Kansas, you know, in the Big 12. Tech. But, you know, it kind of, you know, Shaka Smart gets a lot of knock for him being out coached and, you know, just having his players not ready all the time over the course of his years at Texas. And the fact that he had three players that gives him significant minutes sit out, and he had guys like Kamaka Hepa and, Chase Febris, I mean, come in and stay ready. Like, you could tell those guys were ready. Even though, you know, they haven't gotten any minutes really this season, those guys came in ready to play. And you've got Febris, who had 22 minutes, and Kamaka Hepa, who had 26 and had about four threes with a 15 points. Like, I praise Shaka Smart on having his players ready to play all the time. And, you know, that's huge. That's huge, right, when you're going into March, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, you need a little bit of luck to win the NCAA tournament, because, you know, nothing comes easy. And when you got, you know, a lot of guys that are ready to play that can give you different looks on, you know, the offensive end, defensive end, because Kansas State, you can't prepare, you can't scout for what they saw last night. Like, all they've seen is, you know, Greg Brown and Kai Jones really coming in and making their mark on the game, while Brock Cunningham, he brings the energy, but they had no idea what Chase Frebris was going to bring or Kamaka Hepa was going to be.
Went off.
Oh, man, he was amazing yesterday. And, like, that's his energy. Like, people don't talk about him enough because, obviously, he doesn't get the minutes. But he's always on the bench chirping, you know, getting his teammates energized, you know, just staying locked into the game. And you could tell with his play yesterday, like, that's just him. Like, he's always ready to play, and, like, you got to have guys like that. But, you know, it was a good bounce-back game from Texas Tech, especially with the players that they didn't have. And, you know, I'm still very high on this Texas basketball team.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. And you know what was flexed was the depth. You know, so Shaka's coaching ability has always been flexed, I thought, because, I mean, I'm an East Coast dude. I've known the dude at Victor Cup, man. That's one of the high schools, Victor Cullen or whatever, but at Virginia Commonwealth, man. Like, I remember him making runs, you know, in the tournament when I was back on the East Coast. So people have known about Shaka for a while, or at least people on the East Coast have known about Shaka for a while and his coaching ability. But look, man, you saw that a little bit flexed last night. And what else was flexed yesterday also was the fact that with these three guards, with Ramey, Coleman, and Jones, even with one down, two can carry. You know what I mean? Like, you saw Coleman have a little bit of a down game last, or at least I thought so yesterday. But he was definitely productive. It just doesn't show up on the stat line there. But, I mean, the ones that flourish, man, I mean, Andrew Jones, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you know, shooting 50% from the arc. You know, 4 3-pointers, you know, coming in, you know, producing 19. I think he was led the team in points with 19. But again, another big game from Andrew Jones. And it just seems like when one guard is not having their game, the other two guards just pick them up.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed throughout this season with this Texas basketball team is Shaka won't have Matt Coleman or Courtney Ramey not on the court at one time. Like, one of those guys is going to be on the court at all times, just because their ball handling and decision making is so key for this offense. So, you know, that just kind of shows the improvement those guys have had over the course of the years. And then now you've had Andrew Jones, who's got his legs under him and is really aggressive and has a lot of crafty moves and a really pretty jump shot. Like, Andrew Jones, I don't know if he's going to be in the NBA, but he's going to make a lot of money, you know, no matter what, once his collegiate career is over, because that jump shot.
Shooters will always be on a team, dude.
Oh, yeah, no matter what. And his ball handling and the way that he gets to his spots, he has a good floater. He has really good control of his body when he gets into the paint on, you know, because at the beginning of the season, he was drawing a lot of charges, and now he's not. He's stopping right before he gets in the paint and shooting that nice floater. And, again, that jump shot is as pure as I've ever seen it.
So let me ask you a question. Who do you think's the better pure shooter, Ramey or Jones? Because both look pretty
it's
smooth.
Tough.
Both look pretty
That's
smooth.
Tough. I would say
it's
Courtney
nice to have
Ramey,
them both on a team, man.
It is. I would say Courtney Ramey is a better off the dribble shooter. Yeah. Like, when he's just dribbling the ball, I think he's better, you know,
makes
just
own,
randomly
can make his
pulling
own shot.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and creating for his off-the-dribble jump shots, while Andrew Jones is a better spot-up shooter. And if he's not spotting up, he's usually trying to get to the paint. So you don't really see many, you know, mid-range jumpers with Andrew Jones, even though he's gotten a pretty good fadeaway, you know, when he gets into the paint also. But, yeah, that's a good problem to have, because both guys are, you know, really, really good shooters.
It is a special team, especially. I mean, I'm considering the opponent. We are all considering the opponent, but consider the weapons that were used to defeat the opponent.
And yeah, consider, yeah, exactly.
And you know what I mean? Like, again, you know, no Cunningham, no Kai Jones, no Brown. So a lot of the key cogs that usually, you know, provide in some big minutes for this team weren't there, and still a big, you know, a significant win. In the Big 12. Another team, before we go to break here, real quick, Texas Tech and Baylor. A great matchup, like we thought we would see. What'd you like out of this game here? I mean, again, another tough performance from Beard's squad. I mean, they, you know, you mentioned that we were on, you know, I guess the winning side, you know, come off the slide here. Wasn't too big of a slide here, but a good rebound to bounce back from Texas Tech. But they suffered a defeat going up against Baylor, one of the toughest teams in the nation.
Yeah, and it starts with Baylor's guards like Mitchell and Teague and Butler. You know, those guys are like, you know, Andrew Jones, Coleman, and Ramey. So, yeah. Like, they rely on those three guys who, you know, they're some of the best guards in the nation.
It's going to be good to see when we play these
nice.
Boys, man. It's going to be nice to see this game. Anyways, that's going to do it for the first hour. Just good producing, Sam. Just good producing, buddy. We love you out there. Hey, man, don't go nowhere. Me, Zan, Sam, more of us. The trio on the other side. It's the Wagner Wire, hour two. Yeah.